everyone. Welcome to Stutter Talk for our special Veterans Day episode for November 11th, 2017. I'm your host, Peter Reitzis, in Carrboro, North Carolina, starting with some good fake, voluntary pseudo-stuttering, because that has been a technique that's helped me so much in my life. And I am honored to have on the line Colonel Frank T. Flannery. Hi, Colonel Flannery.
Yes, good morning.
You're joining us from Washington, D.C. today, is that correct?
Correct.
You've done so many impressive things that I tried to condense it to just a few, but we will link to your full bio today. Dr. Frank T. Flannery, Colonel Flannery, is a physician attorney, is a graduate of Seton Hall University School of Law and the Uniformed Services University School of Medicine. He's a member of the Bar of the United States Supreme Court and a diplomat of the American Board of Family Medicine. Colonel Flannery's clinical practice experience includes emergency medicine, family medicine, and allergy and immunology. Following a long and distinguished career in the United States Army, he retired from the military in 2003 after 31 years of service at the rank of full colonel. Dr. Flannery has offered more than 70 journal articles and book chapters in numerous publications, including the Journal of the American Medical Association and the American Journal of Cardiology. First of all, I want to thank you, Colonel Flannery, for your service.
Thanks.
So you served in the United States Army for 31 years. Please tell us about your service in the military, where you started, where you retired, and some of your duties.
Right. Well, I started as a cadet, an ROTC cadet, in 1965. And I came onto active duty in Fort Gordon, Georgia, and I served till 2003. I went to a lot of different places. I went to Fort Knox, Kentucky, and Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and Fort Meade, Maryland, on and on. I was in four branches of the Army. The Army, of course, is organized into branches. And I was in the infantry. I began there. I went on to the JAG Corps, the Judge Advocate General's Corps. That's the legal branch of the Army. And I was a lawyer there for the JAG Corps. I later served in the Medical Service Corps and then the Medical Corps after I graduated from medical school. And I did do truly a lot of different things in the military. That's true.
I'm getting chills listening to you talk, because when I was growing up, my assumption was I could never be in the Army because I stuttered. And to be speaking to a colonel who stutters, I'm just so proud of it. I mean, I'm so proud that you're out there doing the good work and stuttering. And I'm so proud we can present you as a role model for other people who stutter, for parents, for speech language pathologists. I'm torn between asking you about your service and asking you about stuttering. So I'm going to try to do both things at once. So why did you join the military, and were you worried that your stuttering might hold you back?
Well, let me if I could I comment on a comment that you just made?
Oh, please.
Yeah, I'm not the only person in the military who ever stuttered. Believe me, I've encountered many of them, many enlisted people, officers, West Pointers, and I, if I might say so, there were much more severe stutterers than me. That's why I could pick them out from a mile away. So I'm just one of many, many, really. I just wanted to throw that in at the outset.
And I love hearing that. I love knowing that serving our country is so open to people who stutter. And please know I wasn't implying otherwise. It's just as a child, I didn't know that stuttering would be okay in the military. My assumption would be, oh, I can't be a lawyer, I can't be a doctor, I can't stutter in the military.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had those same concerns myself, but as I went along, I found, yeah, it was possible. But I know I had every one of those concerns that you just voiced and more, right? I wondered how the whole thing was going to go as well. But it did go quite well. And I think your question was, why did I choose military service? Well, I was born in 1947. It's 2 years after World War II ended. And in those days, what did kids do? They used to play Army. They say, let's play Army. Now, my father died when I was eight, but my brother was 10 years older than me. And he did go to West Point. And so he was, of course, an older brother and always a great role model for me. I can give you a humorous an anecdote. My brother wanted me to go to West Point, and I wanted to go as well. So my brother said, let's talk to mother. We talked to her, and she said, Pat, my brother's name was Pat. She said, Pat, it'll never work. your brother Frank could never take the regimentation of the Army. And I've told that story over and over the 31 years that I served, and it always brought a good laugh because mothers are normally right, but not in every case. In this one case, she was wrong. I did withstand the regimentation for 31 years, but I just thought I'd throw in that anecdote.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Some of us who are not in the military, we might not fully understand all the sacrifices that you've had to make. So what are some of the sacrifices that people serving our country have to make?
Well, of course, the big one, everybody knows this, is, you know, you're basically going to be called upon to, you know, put your life at risk, and combat and even training is quite dangerous. But moving beyond that, everyone knows that. As far as the work-a-day tasks in the military, when I retired from the military and I took a civilian job, I found there were time cards that you filled out if you worked 6 hours or 8 hours and when you came in and when you left. The military has no time cards. You're on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You're always subject to call. And you work weekends, you work nights, you work holidays, you go places at a moment's notice when they tell you to. And beyond all that, just all the moving around, especially if you have a family. It's very difficult. We had four kids, and that was difficult moving around. Yes, it's challenging, but it's never boring.
When I go to the airport to pick up my mom when she comes to visit, I often see a lot of very young soldiers going on planes and coming off of planes. And I'll say to my wife, I'll say, they look so young. They look like they're right out of high school. I don't know why I'm sharing that with you. I guess I'm just impressed by, at such a young age, some of these young men and women know that they want to serve our country. And I know it's just kind of special to see that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the military. I've always said it's a young man's game. I mean, you can hang around and be a dinosaur, kind of like I was. But for the most part, yes, it's a young man's game. Correct.
So you mentioned a little bit about your stuttering in the military. What's been your experience? Do you think it's helped you in some way? Were there people along the way who thought you might not be able to do the job? Share with us what you will about stuttering in, or about your experience stuttering in the Army.
Well, the main person who thought that I might not be able to do the job was me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had my doubts, and they were grave, but I did it, and I faced them. And as my most recent speech therapist says, she says, "Do what you fear," and if you do that, it's always never one-tenth as bad as you think it's going to be. So that just doing it and just going ahead with it, that helps a great deal. But yeah, I mean, in the military, one of the things you do is when you drill, you march. And I remember in ROTC, you know, learning to give orders to a platoon and whatnot. And I thought, oh my God, how is this going to go? Well, much to my surprise, it went well because stuttering, and I'm speaking to one, and maybe this might be heard by an audience of a lot of other ones. When you come to singing, acting, and whatnot, you seem to enjoy way more fluency than you normally have. And indeed, that's the case, because when you give orders, you don't address the platoon and say, I'd like your attention, please. Would everybody please come to attention? You say, attention, hut! And you say, at ease. And you say, right face, right. In other words, I'm saying you don't speak in your normal voice. It's kind of like the stutterers who can sing and the stutterers who can act. And when I encountered this a long time ago in 1965, I said, you know, I think I can do this. I actually think I can. So that was my early experience. And then on and on, I remember in the JAG Corps, I was a lawyer at first, a defense counsel, and a prosecutor later on. The judge invited me for lunch, and I thought, oh no, I wonder what I did wrong. So we sat down for lunch, and he asked me a lot of questions. He says, now, Captain, I was a captain. He said, now, Captain, you're a stutterer. Is that correct? I mean, I stuttered in his courtroom. You could see that. I said, yes. And he said, well, have you ever had speech therapy? I said, yes, I have. And he said, how'd that go? And so we talked about it. And he was more inquisitive. No one in the military ever cast any doubt on as far as whether I could make the grade. The biggest doubter was myself, to be honest with you, because, and this is a truism, the stuttering, you know this because you are one, the stutterers, they're their harshest critics, and you know I'm correct in saying that. The rest of the world, most of the time, they don't think a whole lot about your stuttering. They don't have time. They're worried about other things that are way more important.
This is Stutter Talk. I'm Peter Righteous here with Colonel Frank T. Flannery. Colonel, I've got so many questions to ask you. I'm tripping over myself. I think you raise a great point, and let me give it to you back this way. It sounds like you're saying that sometimes us people who stutter, we discriminate against ourselves. And I'm so proud as a stutterer and as an American that you've had such a great experience in the United States Army. I'm really glad to hear that. Now that touches me. You mentioned that you're in speech therapy. I happen to know your speech therapist. This person is a wonderful person. And some of the listeners might be wondering, well, gee, it sounds like the colonel is speaking really well, really confidently. So why are you in speech therapy? What is the therapist helping you with?
I'm preaching to the choir, dealing with stuttering. It's a daily challenge. It's a daily challenge. So I've been around. I've done things, but it has helped me a great deal. To all my therapies, but certainly my most recent therapy has been outstanding, and it's helped me the most. To be quite frank, I had a tendency, as again many stutterers do, to hide, to not be the one to raise their hand, to speak out, and I do say I think I've overcome that.
I'm wondering, do you also seek the support of other people who stutter? Has that been part of your growth and change, or are you mostly working just with a speech therapist?
No. I spoke at the National Stuttering Association convention 2 years ago. No, the therapy is group therapy, and I've met and known and made friends with many stutterers, and I found it to be quite fascinating. Their concerns and their lives and their experiences, they absolutely mirror my own. And it's very reassuring and very comforting, and to be quite honest, very entertaining at times.
I know exactly what you mean. You are a colonel. You're a retired colonel. You are a doctor. You are an attorney. You are a researcher. Is it possible for you to say, has stuttering been harder in one of those domains for you? Is it just different? Take it where you will.
To be perfectly honest with you, I think it was the hardest in the courtroom because it's a formal setting. There's silence. There's a recording machine, I think that was the hardest. I mean, because everybody's hanging on literally your every word. So I think that was the hardest. Yes.
Do you think your stuttering or your experience facing stuttering has helped you in some way be more successful or more prepared?
Absolutely. I think it's helped me in every sphere and every arena, because I learned from the inside out that everybody is not perfect. Everybody has defects, and everybody has vulnerabilities. I've dragged around this stuttering my whole life. It hasn't hurt me. It helped me. I'm a more empathetic person. I'm a more understanding person. And I'm a more intelligent person because of it, I think. Yes.
So I've been involved in the stuttering community for well over 20 years now, or more than 20 years. And one of the things I always hear is for people who are considering jobs in law enforcement, in the military, in the fire department, they're always worried about, well, what happens if I'm called upon to speak quickly, to give an order when there's a fire going on, to make an arrest? What happens if my speech gets in the way when I need my speech to work? What are your thoughts on this topic? Share what you will.
Yeah, man, I've never seen it in my personal experience or in anyone else's be a problem, to be perfectly honest with you. Number one, when it comes to emergencies, and having worked in emergency medicine for a good number of years, there's no time to worry about your speech. And it's kind of like singing or acting, or you've got to communicate, and you do. And somehow God always gave me the strength to do that. Never held me back in the least. No. No, and I'm sure that's been the case for cops and firemen, and I'm sure I've never been a cop and I've never been a fireman, but I'm sure just like soldiers, there are lots of stutterers in those ranks. And of course, it's a matter of degree. I mean, everybody's got this fluency. As you watch the newsmen at night, they're accomplished on-air personalities, and they have disfluencies. I hear them. You hear them. Everybody hears them. And everybody's got disfluencies. So, it's a matter of degree. I mean, could I envision an instance where someone was in a key position and they just couldn't get a word out? Oh, I could conjure it up in my mind. Have I ever seen it? No. Never seen it. No.
So you bring up such an interesting topic of the matter of degree. Because I'm someone who's always said, A person who stutters can do anything they want. And then someone loves to throw in the, but what if, you know, what if they can only say one word in 10 minutes? You know, you always get those type of scenarios. So, you know, through your group therapy, through the National Stuttering Association, through the Army, you know people who stutter. Do you think there might be some 18 or 19 year olds who want to join the Army who haven't faced stuttering enough to do so? Or do you think the Army is a place where you can join, and if you need help with something like stuttering or depression or any of life's issues, that the Army will accept you and then help you work on yourself?
Yes, I think that is the case. And I don't think that's the case. I know that's the case because that was me. The Army sent me to speech therapy too. So everyone thinks, including me, most of the time, that the Army can be a little inflexible. And when I was in, we joked and called it a real bonehead organization. But there are a lot of intelligent people in the military too, a lot of intelligent people. And absolutely. There's a lot of room for stutterers in the military. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I hope I'm allowed to say this, but my brother-in-law, he was in the Army for, I think, 6 years, and he just got out. And hearing him talk about the Army is a mix of what you just said, boneheaded decisions mixed with deep, deep pride for what he had accomplished and who he was with.
Right.
And it sounds like you sort of said the same thing.
Yeah, they respect who you are as a person. They respect education. They respect hard work. Yeah, I mean, now, does it have its faults, the big green machine? Yes, it does. Yes, but...
So I hope you don't mind. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit because I want to ask you about a Department of Defense policy. And I've never served in the military, so I don't know, when you find a policy on a website of the Department of Defense, how much it's written in stone or how flexible it is. So let me read to you the policy and get your feedback. So this is from the Department of Defense Medical Standards for Appointment, Enlistment, or Induction in the Military Services. And it says, any current receptive or expressive language disorder, including but not limited to any speech impediment or stammering and stuttering of such a degree as to significantly interfere with production of speech or the ability to repeat commands. Do you think that's a good policy? Do you think it should be altered some? How have you seen it enforced? Take it where you will.
Okay, I've never seen it enforced at all because, as I said, I've served with many stutterers who served with distinction. But see, that regulation, if I understand you correctly, it says, again, speaking of a matter of degree, it says if the stuttering is to such a degree that it significantly interferes with the production of speech or the ability to repeat commands. Can I envision of an instance where someone might? Yeah, I think I can envision it. Say the individual, if you couldn't get out one word, and then maybe in that rare instance, that's a person who might not be able to serve in the military. Of all the stutterers I've known, to be quite honest with you, I can only think of one who would have had a significant problem in the military. And that's of hundreds and hundreds of stutterers of varying degrees. So, you know, do I think the thing ought to be repealed or something? No. Do I think that it's going to keep any stutterers out? None of the ones I served with, no. Didn't keep them or me out, no.
This is Stutter Talk. Peter Righteous here with Colonel Frank T. Flannery. Colonel, you've done so much in 31 years in the military. Can you tell us one or two things that you're very proud of or most proud of?
Well, I think I think the thing as I'm most proud of as a physician, I think, is that I always I always gave it my all. And someone said to me, they said, look, it's like this, Frank. Being a doctor is very simple. You got to treat every patient as if they were a family member. And that's what I tried. That's what I tried to do. That was a goal. So, I do think I am proud of that. Yes.
So a Stutter Talk listener shared this anecdote with me, and I happen to know the person who stutters, who he's talking about, because I'm friends with that person. But here's what he said, that he knows an officer who stutters, who reports that giving orders wasn't a problem since the cadence and tone was different. And I know you spoke about this a little bit, but what do you think about this? You mentioned this before about when you give an order, it's like having a different voice. Do you almost think to some extent it's like acting, like the same way that a James Earl Jones might not stutter when he acts?
I think that's absolutely true. And whoever made that comment to you, they were a smart person and they knew what they were talking about. That is absolutely true. That's been my experience too. And yes, that is absolutely true.
What's the hardest aspect of stuttering for you to face now?
I think the hardest aspect of stuttering even now is meeting people cold for the first time with no track record, no acquaintance, and introducing myself. Even now, yes. Do I do it? Yes. Is it difficult? It can be quite difficult. Yes, it can.
So what advice do you have for people who stutter who are considering a career of military service?
I would say do it. Don't hesitate. Do it. And I think they will be able to do it. I think it won't hurt them. I think they'll enjoy it. I think they'll see a lot of different things and experience a lot of different things. And I would not let stuttering hold you back. It's not important enough to let it hold you back. I served with a lot of people who stuttered much more than I did, and they did fine. So I would tell them, just go ahead and go for it. That would be my advice.
What did you learn from the people who stutter who you served with?
I admired them because, number one, they were not covert stutterers. They were open stutterers, and I don't know what kind of speech therapy they ever had, if any, but they didn't let it bother them. And I admired them a great deal. I did.
You have known overt and covert stutterers in the military. I know it's hard to speak generally, but in general, do you think it's harder to be an overt, open stutterer or a covert stutterer in the military?
I think it's hard to be a covert stutterer in or out of the military, because the overt ones, the secret's out. They face their fear. They did it. Everybody knows that they stutter. There's nothing to hide. But the covert ones are always have a fear of discovery, and someone will appreciate a vulnerability. That would be my take on that question.
So most of the people I've spoken to over the years in the military have had overall positive experiences about stuttering in the military.
Yes.
I have heard from the occasional person who hasn't had the positive experience. In your experience, if a person who stutters joins the military and they feel like they're getting a hard time because they stutter, how confident are you that they will have recourse, that they can stay in the military and figure out this stuttering thing? So if you have an officer who just doesn't accept that you stutter, can somebody in the military do something about it where they can still serve? Or what are your thoughts on that?
I think the whole impetus would be to identify the problem, address the problem, and help to remedy the problem for that individual. Yes, there's no question about that. I have no reservation in saying that. The last resort would be to discharge somebody. Yes, and I've never seen it, and I served for 31 years, so that would be a rarity.
Yeah, about 20 years ago, I met someone who stuttered quite a lot, which somebody would call a severe stutterer. And he was a career military man. And I was so impressed that he was in the military because he was stuttering on probably more than half of his words with a lot of struggle. Speaking, communicating for him was a real challenge. And I was very impressed that the military sent him to speech therapy. So they either gave him the time off or he took time off and he went into treatment. I mean, is that your general experience where somebody's having a hard time with something in their lives and the military recognizes that and helps them to make a positive change?
Yes, that is absolutely my experience. That's the way it would always go in the military. Yes, absolutely.
I love hearing that. So let me ask you a very classic stutter talk question. We've been asking this question for 10 years.
Right.
Now, as a doctor, you know there's no cure for stuttering. But right. Let's just pretend for a moment, if there was that magic pill to stop stuttering, would you take that pill and why or why not?
Well, I think as a child, I would have taken it. As an adolescent, I would have taken it. As a young adult, I would have taken it. At this point, I don't think I'd take it because as I've said, it's been over the years, a real growth experience for me, a truly veritable growth experience. Like a fire, I've been tempered by it, tempered and made better. Yeah. So at this point, I would not take it. No.
Colonel Flannery, I really appreciate your time today and your service to our country. Is there anything else that you would like to reiterate or that you'd like to say about being a person who stutters, a veteran in the military?
I would just say that if you do stutter and you want to seek a career in the military, by all means, don't let it hold you back. In my experience, it will not hold you back. And maybe if you're an adolescent or a young adult, you might not believe that, but believe it. It's true. It's true. I lived it. So that would be my advice.
Well, I have two young children at home, a wonderful wife, and I get to live my life and do Stutter Talk because we are home safe. And I just want to thank you for your service and all the other service personnel out there for really allowing us to live such safe lives. So thank you very much.
Thank you.